Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
All right. We've already done a full show. It feels like we've already done a full show. We're only halfway there. We got another full show coming up. Pierre McGuire is standing by. Welcome back. Melnick in the Afternoon on TSN 690. Game night, Habs and Lightning in Tampa Bay. Carey Price practiced today for the first time since being injured with his teammates. With Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo. In the first hour of the show, hey Bill, what advice would you give Josh about his first visit to Montreal?
Stay off to the carry.
Bill Lee in Northern California, and the guy who's playing him in a movie, actor Josh Duhamel from Los Angeles.
I am very proud of the movie, and I think that Brett did a great job with it.
Brett Rapkin, writer, director, Josh Duhamel, Eric Gagne, the producer, the former Cy Young Award winner, Jonah Carey, will be on stage at SphereTech in St. Laurent Saturday night at 7 o'clock. The only way to get tickets for this charity event is at exposfest.com. Just spend an entire hour with 72 Team Canada heroes, Pete Mihaljevic and Rod Gilbert. That's coming to Place des Arts, the 72 Summit Series Tour on September the 2nd. Now we get to Pierre.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
I'm good. Good afternoon to you, Mitch.
What a treat to speak to. Pete, I get to see, as you know, a lot, but I haven't seen Rod Gilbert since he had his restaurant in Manhattan.
He's awesome. I get to see him a fair bit, obviously, being around MSG a lot, and I still go back to the gag line for the younger people that are listening, the goal of game line with Vic Hadfield and Jean Rattel and Rod Gilbert. What a line. What great gentlemen, all of them. And tough, skilled, fast, everything. Amazing.
The first guy to have his jersey retired by the New York Rangers was Rod Gilbert, number 7. Okay, so many places. We'll get to your amazing game that you worked last night. But the news, and I'm having a hard time, and yesterday it was with Rod, and I don't usually have a hard time with Rod about anything. But Rod was of the belief that they should just shut down Carey Price. Like, what's the point? And my belief is if Carey Price, who's been practicing, who's missed the entire season practically, he wants to play and he's been cleared, what harm is there in letting him play? Today, he's at practice for the first time, which means if he's okay, he will play before the end of the season.
You're going to be mad at me.
Oh, boy.
I'm on Rod Francis's team.
Why?
Because let's just say for the sake of argument, he goes in the net and injures himself again.
So?
Oh, I don't think you want to go down that road again.
Well, Pierre, if his condition is such that if he injures himself by playing one or two more games this season, then I have a sneaking suspicion he is going to get hurt next season.
Why would you rush it? What's the point?
Well, who says it's being rushed? The guy hasn't played since November 25th, surgery.
What do these games mean?
He wants to play.
He can play in practice.
No, that's not enough. He wants game action.
Okay,
he's your goaltender. He's the leader of the hockey team.
I will just say this. If I were the manager of the team, I would tell him to his face, you are the future of this franchise. These games are not amounting to much for us. We're not making the playoffs. You have this vision of potentially playing in the World Cup. We're not playing you. That's what I would tell him. He's worth more to me next year than he is to me now. What does he mean to me now?
But, Pierre, if the knee is in such bad shape that he's immediately going to have another a setback, then that's going to happen regardless.
Do you ever hear of a guy named Jaro Halak?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened to him? He had his groin torn, hurt his groin, went in. I did the game. I did the second game where he got hurt. He was in the net. He just barely moved. And now look where the Islanders are.
Yeah, but he didn't miss November. He didn't miss 50-odd games.
I don't take chances. Not like that. Not with a guy that's critically important to my team. I mean, I don't know what, like, you're a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
What purpose does this serve to play him now?
Because he's going to have to face this sooner or later.
We get the later. We get the later. Don't give me, you're talking like a player that's trying to beg me to play.
No, Pierre, you have praised the Canadiens' medical team time after time after time. So if
I'm gonna stand by that.
So if I'm to understand your feelings about them, and they have cleared him, and he's ready to play physically, and he wants to play as the leader of this team, I say go ahead.
And I say, who cares about the long-term health of the franchise? I'm not playing him.
Should there be questions about this medical team if the Canadians were told initially that there was 6 to 8 weeks and it's all year basically? Is like what's the story there?
I don't think so. I mean, I haven't talked to Graham Reinbend about it. I haven't talked to Dr. Mulder about it. I was with Mark Bergevin having a coffee the other day in the airport in Detroit. He was scouting amateur players in Windsor and was heading home to watch Detroit play Montreal and then heading up to Chicoutimi. And I did not talk to him about Carey. But if I had the chance to talk, we're talking about amateur players and traveling with the scouting stuff. But if I had asked him, I would say, why would you rush playing him? What benefit does it do your team? Doesn't do any benefit.
But don't you think what benefit is there
if he goes in and gets re-injured?
Well, anybody can get injured at
any
point.
Well, I know, but this is my point. Don't you want to be protective and be smart and say, we're going to get this guy at 100%? Not 90, not 95. There's some guys that are cleared to play. They're only 80%.
Well, but the caveat here is that unless and until he's at 100%, it's taken this long for him to even practice with the team. And I guess right now we'll see how his knee is. Like right now as we speak, based on his first practice, if the medical team has said it is 100% and they have all said he's not doing anything unless it's 100%, Then what is the fear if it is 100%?
I just don't want. I wouldn't risk a franchise player in a game in games that are going to the end of the season. I don't want him. I don't want him exposed to injury in meaningless games. That's just a philosophy that I have.
Okay,
I'm a big believer in that.
I would have felt differently about the situation, Pierre. Let's say his rehab had progressed enough so that he was practicing in full pads with his team at the beginning of March. And if he was ready to go March 4th, that would give him 5 or 6 weeks. That would give him 15 to 18 games to provide some certainty and show that he was healthy. At that point, if he was far enough along, I would be fine with it. But now to put him in a game or two, I don't really get that.
But Mitch, I have to ask you this. Yep. I'm just, because I really respect your opinion. Why do you want to see him back in the net?
I think it's about what he wants, and
I think he's earned.
And I don't care
why
personally.
You want him back?
Personally, I don't care. I think but I respect the guy so much that if he's insisting and he knows how important he is to this team, that if he believes he could get away with playing and not worry about getting hurt, and it's for peace of mind to spend the entire offseason without having gotten into a game again, I can understand how it's driving him up the wall. Only until and unless he's at 100% cleared and he says, yeah, it's worth doing this, then I would defer to him. I think it's his call, and I respect him, and that's my approach. I personally don't care, Pierre, if I see him or not.
If Team Canada comes calling and asks for him to play in the World Championships in St. Petersburg and in Moscow in a year where the World Cup is going to be played in August, you want him to go to that too?
I don't know about that. That would take a long discussion. It would take, you know, where are you at in terms of off-season training? How many sessions on the ice? I wouldn't be jumping into that.
Okay, and that's why I'm not letting him play, because I don't even want him tempted.
Okay. But if Mark Bergevin has the conversation that you suggested he probably will have at some point, would he... Do you not think Carey Price would understand that, where the Canadians are coming from, in that regard for the World Cup?
I think he would. He's a pretty slick guy that way. He understands that. I would say that wouldn't be an issue. I also think he understands where he is in terms of the leadership mantle of the team. He's a very, obviously, you've said it millions of times. You've been proven right on this. He's a very important person within the confines of that dressing room. When he's there, even if he doesn't speak, I think he has everybody's attention.
By the way, I just want to make it clear. I believe Carey Price ruled himself out of the World Championships already.
I'm not talking about... No, he's talking about the World Cup.
No, he was talking about the World Championships.
Well, Pierre, you were talking about the World Championships? No. I misunderstood. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about next fall's World Cup.
I'm talking about the World... If he plays now and feels really good about himself,
no, he's
Canada comes calling and says, we're putting you into St. Petersburg and into Moscow for the World Championships. You going to want him to play there, too?
No, no, that's I'm sorry I misunderstood that. That is, he's already said he's not playing because Angela Price is about to give birth to their first child.
I did not hear that, and congratulations. Yeah. That's even better news.
And he said that is a priority for me, and,
as
it should be. So we don't have to worry about that.
Okay, good.
I'm talking about next, but what about the World Cup?
I'm not a fan, but... Maybe because we're not covering it.
You guys are doing pretty well. I just saw a press release about your ratings at NBC Sports Network for the NHL being up nearly 20%. Congratulations.
Thank you. And every year they've gone up over the last 11 years. I know there were a lot of doom and gloomers on the Canadian side of the border that were savaging the product back in 05 and 06. Believe me, we kept all the articles, too. We know who wrote them. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the people that I work with. But what's interesting is that Sam Flood's vision is coming to the fore. He's just a brilliant guy. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. And he's created an amazing product through the goodwill of the league. The players have been great. The coaches have been great. The spirit of cooperation has been phenomenal.
Ratings on the... on this side of the border, not quite as good. Here is Charlie Lindgren, the newest member of the Canadiens, who got to practice today.
I mean, it doesn't feel real. You know, he's obviously the best goalie in the NHL, so just be on the ice with him. I just want to be a sponge and just learn as much as I can from him.
Three goalies practicing in Tampa today.
That's fine. Stefan waits there. He'll know how to handle that. Don't worry about that stuff. Charlie will mind his manners, too. I've seen that with young guys coming in. They're really good, and I love what he said about being a sponge. That's exactly what he will be. Done a lot of background checking on him since the Canadiens signed him. I knew his body of work as an athlete from having watched St. Cloud a lot. He's very, very athletic, quick. I think I shared that with you yesterday. He's got a chance, but this is the one, just so everybody understands, the same buzz was out there on Matt O'Connor last year, just so everybody keeps in perspective.
Yeah.
Rush these guys because it's for goalies in particular, not so much for bigger defensemen, not so much for skilled forwards or fast forwards, but for goalies, it is a gigantic, gigantic adjustment.
We saw Matt O'Connor play for Ottawa against the Canadiens.
He played in the preseason.
Okay,
yes,
that's where I saw him.
And the owner wasn't too happy that he played in the regular season.
And he's struggling mightily, if I'm not mistaken, in the American
League.
That
is correct.
Yeah.
So, and this is a player that I saw play a ton at Boston University, and that's why I'm just telling you, as much as everybody's all excited and hot and bothered, just put him to the side and let him learn and grow the proper way.
Last night in Philadelphia.
Evgeny Kuznetsov, no goals his last 13 games. And the Capitals take the 1-0 lead on the power play, number 44. Ovechkin.
What a sick pass by Evgeny Kuznetsov. Wow.
5 seconds remaining on the power play. Mark Streit with the puck. In behind the net for Simmons. And then out for Claude Giroux. Giroux with a try.
Looked like this puck was deflected by Braden Schenn. About 7 feet in front of Braden Holtby.
Kenny Albert, Eddie Olczyk, and of course Pierre Maguire in Philadelphia. And before we get to the winner in the shootout, huge, obviously, win. That tying goal on the power play with less than 6 minutes to go. Help out a lot of people who were watching everything last night. Claude Giroux got zonked again, and yet he was magnificent. You spoke to him, and he sounded perfectly lucid right after the game on the ice. Can you explain how perhaps the pictures and reality don't seem to be meeting here?
Well, you probably saw after he got walloped in the corner, what I showed was the revisit of the hit from Phoenix when Martin Hanzel got him from behind. And he went down hard and looked like he was knocked out, but he came back and scored the overtime winner against Winnipeg on Monday, where he looked like he got knocked out was Saturday, plus they had to do time zone travel. So it's a little bit different, and we showed that's how quick our tape ops were working. Had it at their disposal, and then obviously what happened last night with the hit from Niskanen. I don't know. Maybe every guy's different in terms of how they deal with hits. Maybe he just needs to go down and stay down, and then he gets up and kind of shakes it off. I don't know. Every guy's different. Every single guy's different.
Because he wasn't just playing. He was, like, among the best players on the ice.
He was playing big time. I think you would agree. There were points in that game where he was dominating the puck big time.
Sam Gagne, 1-for-5 this season, moving it on Hopi. He scores! Flyers win!
Well, Sam Gagne, right-handed shot, puts that puck in a shooting position and goes 5-hole on Braden Hopi.
All right, so
Funny?
Yes.
That game never should have got to a shootout. Nick Backstrom rifled one right off the post. And that puck, I was right on the shooting line of that. That thing was labeled. And he's just a millimeter too wide. But that thing was going in. And that would have ended it. And Holtby would have got his 47th win. But obviously they lost.
So with the win, the Flyers move 2 points up on Detroit. Detroit, they still hold a game in hand in Detroit. They also move a point up in Boston. Of course, they're in different divisions, however. So they're in pretty good shape, all things considered.
They're in very good shape. There's an atmosphere around Philadelphia now that reminds me back to when, Giroux was being called by Peter Laviolette as one of the best players in the world. And they had this physical strut to their game, and they were really piling on people. I mean, that's one of the – Claude Giroux, people forget this now because everything goes so fast. But Claude Giroux, when he came into the league, he made Mike Richards and Jeff Carter expendable because of how well he played. And they realized, we've got these guys signed, especially Richards, to a long-term deal. We got a guy that can replace him, and he's a lot cheaper. We're going to move him along. And that's what they did. Now, Richards has gone on to win 2 cups. Carter's gone on to win 2 cups. Giroux hasn't won any cups. But that it just shows you Claude Giroux allowed them to trade those 2 players because they saw him being a great player.
I was watching your broadcast last night, and several shots of Ian LaPerriere working with the special teamers, gathering his group together. I'm wondering if you see LaPerriere as a head coach at some point in the not-too-distant future.
It's early, but I really like the way he communicates with his players. I love how much he's learned from Joey Mullen. I think that's a great team coaching staff with Dave Haxtell, Gordon Murphy, who works with the defense, Ian LaPerriere, and Joey Mullen. That's a really, really good staff. But I could see at some point where he could become an NHL coach. It's early still for him. I think he's got some years still to go in terms of bench management. But he really communicates well with his players in terms of those meetings you were alluding to, Rod.
Finishing up with Pierre McGuire, Warren Cromartie, president of the Montreal Baseball Project, will be in studio in 10 minutes as we finish up on Melnick in the afternoon on TSN 690. So the Habs and Lightning, and Steven Stamkos is playing at least to start center tonight. Do you think if, in fact, he leaves Tampa, regardless of what happens in the spring. If he leaves Tampa, it'll be because he wasn't playing center as often as he would have liked to have played center?
No, I don't think so. Based on just discussions I've had with him, Mitch, I don't think that would be the reason why. I think it comes down to more of the term of the deal and the dollar value of the deal. I don't think that's why he would leave. But again, it's going to be an interesting one to watch here till we get through it. Or everybody gets through it. The biggest problem for Tampa right now is Anton Strahlman and his broken leg. And that's not for the regular season, but that's for the playoffs. So it's going to be – that's what I'm thinking I'm going to be watching tonight, is to see who's going to step up and eat up those Anton Strahlman minutes, because that's not going to be easy to do. He and Hedman were tremendous together. I don't know what that's going to do to Hedman either.
What is the most realistic return date? When you suffer an injury like that.
I was told yesterday 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, 6 weeks, you missed the first round.
You like Washington?
I do. I like Washington. I like St. Louis. I think I told you a couple weeks ago, I think St. Louis is really starting to prime up, and they have a very good player now in Alexander Steen back. They've overcome all these injuries the entire year. I think St. Louis is going to be a problem for a lot of teams. I like all the teams in the Pacific Division, except I don't think San Jose is going to be able to compete for the Cup. I think they're going to be causing problems, but I don't know if they'll compete for the Cup. But Anaheim and L.A. are really good. But in the East, Washington, I like a lot.
Pierre McGuire, what do you remember about Warren Cromartie?
How well he hit the ball, how well he communicated with the media, how much fun he had playing the game. I remember all those things. He hit the ball really hard.
Cromartie, what do you know about Pierre McGuire? Not a thing, huh?
Well, what I know, I know more about his mom because I met her at the airport coming in. remember that day, big guy?
I do.
Yeah. How are you, pal?
I'm good, Warren. How are you?
All righty.
Yeah. Hi, Sally. Have a great weekend. It feels like a Friday because Cromartie's here. That's how he makes me feel. We'll talk to
you
tomorrow.
Get a baseball team in Montreal, Warren. Let's go.
We're hustling, big guy. We're going to do it.
Good. Thanks. Have a good one, boys.
Pierre. More from Cromartie coming up.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.